Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Christ, whose glory fills the skies,
Christ, the truly only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph over the shades of night, day spring from on morning near, day star in my heart appear.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel may be gathered to him. "For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength," he says. "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I waited patiently upon the Lord. He stooped to me and heard me cry.
He lifted me out of the desolate pit, out of the mire and clay. He set my feet upon a high cliff and made my footing sure.
He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are they who trust in the Lord. They do not resort to evil spirits or turn to false gods.
Great things are they you have done, O Lord my God. How great your wonders and your plans for us. There is none who can be compared with you.
Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count.
In sacrifice and offering, you take no pleasure. You have given me ears to hear you.
Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required, and so I
is written concerning me. I love you to do your will, O my God. Your law is deep in my heart.
I proclaim righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I did not restrain my lips, and that, O Lord, you know.
Your righteousness have I not hidden in my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your deliverance. I have not concealed your love and faithfulness from the great congregation.
You are the Lord. Do not withhold your compassion from me. Let your love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sophanes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to these who are crucified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John, the Baptist, saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look! Here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "Where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to these two newly minted disciples, "Come and see." I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Come and see, Jesus says. Come and see. In John's gospel, the first step to discipleship is seeing, coming and seeing what Jesus is up to. I was listening to an article or a piece on NPR this week about artificial intelligence. You got to wonder, like, how intelligent are we compared to artificial intelligence? Like, if I were to play chess against some artificial intelligence, the artificial intelligence would probably almost certainly win. What does that say about my chess skills in the world? The point that was being made here was that the breakthrough, the recent breakthrough in artificial sentience and intelligence is the notion that up until now we've assumed that we could feed machines data, language, and that data would then translate to an understanding deeper. And what we're beginning to learn, I guess, is that a big part of what allows human beings to be as intelligent or not intelligent as they often are is that is our sensory inputs. So our vision, our hearing, our tasting, our smelling. It helps us. Those things help us make meaning out of the world in a way that a machine can't. So machines are really bad. For instance, at you show a machine a picture and ask it what's there in the picture, and the machine can't. There's very few programs that can do that. But a three-year-old, you can show a three-year-old a picture of something and ask, "What's in this picture?" And the three-year-old can tell you. So there's something about seeing. There's something about experiencing the world, walking into the world, being embodied in the world, that adds to our sentience, right? And here in the season of Epiphany, our task is, our job, is all about seeing or recognizing who Christ is. The word epiphany, it shares a Greek root with the word cellophane. I say that every year because I kind of want to sound like I know what I'm talking about every year. One of these years I'm going to look it up and make sure it's true. No, it is true. It's true. one of my seminary professors said it must be true. So this idea that an epiphany, maybe especially a religious epiphany, is the mechanism by which we are able to make the blurry barrier between us and the divine less blurry, right? Which is, cellophane does that. You put it over your food, and then you can see if it's rotten or not, if you want to eat it. And then if it is, you just throw it away instead of opening the cellophane, which is worse. This is where the analogy starts to break down, right? So we won't take it any farther. But the job in the season of Epiphany, our spiritual work, is focused on recognizing who and what this person is that we call the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, Jesus, God among us, the Son of God. These metaphors, these approximations that we throw out there to who this person is that we have dedicated our lives to, it behooves us to do the work of figuring out what it is that we're talking about when we name this Christ person, when we say we are followers of Jesus, when we live our lives in such a way that exemplifies that person. It behooves us to emotionally, to spiritually, to intellectually grasp who it is that Jesus is. And it occurs to me that in every season where this is sort of the work, you know, where think about Lent, Christmas, we're getting a view about who Jesus is in relationship to us. John the Baptist shows up, right, in these seasons, in the readings in these seasons. John the Baptist, like today, John the Baptist showing up. And maybe it's because, I think it's because, that John the Baptist had to do this work of differentiating who he was, what his work was called to do, in the shadow of the Son of God, right, with the Messiah. This is what John the Baptist had to do. And so we put John the Baptist in front of us in the scriptures so that we too can learn how it is to do this work. And Jesus, or John the Baptist in today's reading, he says some curious things. He said, you know, I didn't really recognize him. I'm paraphrasing here. I didn't know him until that Holy Spirit descended upon him, and then I knew him. And what does that teach us about the Christ, that maybe the anointed one, the one that the Holy Spirit comes so close to, that the very identity of God is bestowed upon this person? Maybe the Messiah, the anointed one, shows up in our lives in this way, in ways where it takes us a little bit of spiritual work of listening to the Holy Spirit to say, yes, there it is. I recognize it. I can see it, right? And I bet if I unpack the little stories in this room, in this of your lives, that there are moments where you have come close to Christ, and you can say that. Courtney was telling a story this morning about oil that comes from a Bible in a Pentecostal church, and the knee-jerk reaction is, oh no, that's hogwash. It's like tears from the statue of Mary. Another parishioner of mine told me at St. Albans told me that she buried a statue of St. Joseph upside down and sold her house the next day. No kidding, like full price. Who are we to say that these approximations to Jesus are not legitimate? Who are we? But these moments, maybe they're not so so characteristically extra natural, right? Maybe they're very natural. Maybe it's in the kind statement of a friend are exactly what you needed to hear in a moment, the support that's coming your way in the moment that you need it, the relief that you needed in that very second. These experiences that we have in our lives, where you're brought up short about your own self and you learn, oh, wait a minute, I wasn't thinking about this right. There's a more loving way to think about it, and this person demonstrated this to me. On March 2nd, 1955, a 15-year-old girl named Claudia Austin was sitting on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. She was headed to school. She went to Booker T. Washington High School, which was a segregated school in Montgomery. And on the bus came a woman who was pregnant, a black woman who was pregnant, and sat next to her. And the bus quickly filled up. And later on the route, a white woman got on the bus and didn't have a place to sit. And so the bus driver stood up and demanded that these women, this row of black women, give up their seat and move to the back of the bus where they would have to stand. And 15-year-old Claudia thought the injustice of making a pregnant woman get up was beyond her. And so she grabbed the hand of this woman, Harriet was her name, and said, "We're staying here." And made that stand until the police came. This bus driver called the police. The police came. At which moment, Harriet got up and went to the back of the bus. But young Claudia Austin sat her ground, I should say, and was arrested. 9 months later, in the same bus system, Rosa Parks would do the same thing. You all know Rosa Parks. You probably didn't know Claudia Austin, I'm guessing. Claudia was a 15-year-old who, when her criminal case was being adjudicated, became pregnant out of wedlock at 15, and the civil rights folks, in their wisdom, thought it wasn't a good test case. And so Rosa Parks, who was the secretary of the local chapter of the NAACP, inspired by what this young woman had did, repeated her actions in consultation with Martin Luther King Jr., who would be 94 years old today. All right. This young woman, Claudia, was fearless in the face of what she knew to be injustice and stood her ground. She did not fight. She did not get violent. She did not say violent things as a 15-year-old. And that courage inspired the movement that became the Montgomery bus boycotts, which ultimately resulted in a Supreme Court case in which all of Alabama had to integrate its bus system, right? Our job in the season of Epiphany is about the moments in our lives where we recognize, where we see Christ at work, and we are called to respond in a loving way. It occurs to me on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day that we remember Martin Luther King Jr. with statues and with holidays and with memes online, with all kinds of different things. And maybe all these things that we have built up around Martin Luther King Jr. also help us forget the amount of opposition that that man had to stand up to, right, in his own day, right? But that his work, the reason it was so successful, was that he looked out and saw people like Claudia Austin and her courage, Gandhi in India and his courage, and created a philosophy of nonviolence that is not just nonviolence. It's not just when facing great evil, you should resist violent acts. The heart of the philosophy of nonviolence is that you have to have love for all people. And if you don't have love for all people, it won't work, right? It won't work. We live in this torn up world in which there's a lot of infighting. A lot of the things that we do to each other politically, economically, interpersonally, we seem to be able to justify those things by the ends, right? This breaches my philosophical means if I do this thing, if I grab this power, if I say this insult online, it serves this greater good, this greater purpose. For Martin Luther King Jr., for Claudia Austin on that bus, that moment was about the dignity of every human being in every moment, right? Which is what our baptismal call is about. This is why John the Baptist was able to see Jesus for who Jesus was, because Jesus was committed to the dignity of every human being. That Jesus' life was dedicated to being with and among people who were vulnerable and in need. Not with people who were powerful or had an ideological stake in the world or had made some sort of grand rhetorical claim about what's true or what's not true. Instead, just being present with people, with uplifting the dignity of folks. I am certain that in the cultural, political, interpersonal divides that are so horrible in our culture today, that there are loving, wonderful, great people on both sides of those divides, right? And then there are people who are damaged on both sides of those divides, too. And if anything, if following Christ is anything, if it means something true, then it's finding ways to love folks on both sides of that divide. That's what it is. in a way that says, it's not about my ego, my will, but it's about the fact that this person embodies a little piece of Christ. And I think we can be inspired by the acts of people who do that well among us. I think coming and seeing, as Jesus said, come and see, meant to come and bear witness to the ways in which people courageously do this work in the world around us. Amen. I invite you to kneel or to stand. As with all of our heart and with all of our minds, we pray to the Lord saying, Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, for the loving kindness of God, and for the salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all peoples, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishop and for all the clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, for the leaders of the nations, and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Chattanooga, Hickson, Lakeside, and beyond, for every city and community, and for those who live in them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the good earth which God has given us, and for the wisdom and will to conserve it, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For the aged and infirm, for the widowed and orphans, and for the sick and the suffering, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. And for those we now name, Penny and Kenkin,
John,
Terry,
Marianne,
Bob,
Peter,
Elaine,
Nelson,
Randy,
Betty,
Christina,
Lisa,
Regina,
Harry.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the destitute, for prisoners and captives, and for all who remember and care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the hope of resurrection, and for all the departed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For our deliverance from all danger, violence, oppression, and degradation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For the absolution and remission of our sins and offenses, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may end our lives in faith and hope, without suffering and without reproach, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. In the communion of Jude Thaddeus and of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our Lord.
To thee, O Lord, our God.
We also pray for 3-year-old Corbin, neighbor of Judy and Jim Short, who was caught up in a tragic accident this week.
Yep.
Pray for his parents. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church. And give us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever.
Amen.
Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
God's peace. Good reading, Don. Peace. Peace. Okay, all right. Okay. Okay. Pet food menu. Okay, all right.
We get it back for a lot of cat food.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for being here among us. A couple things. My little kiddo is, he's got some crusty eye going on. So pray for Simon. Oh, man. Casey and I are certain that that his daycare is like a bio disease weapon factory. So they're staying home this morning. That's why they're not here with us. The vestry will meet this week to look at a budget, to elect officers, to hear from the finance team. That's Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. The newly elected vestry will gather. Of course, everybody is welcome, and we ask for your prayers during that time as we gather together. And we'll sure to share what comes forth out of that meeting. So be on the lookout for that on our vestry board out in the hallway. In the narthex, there's a sign-up board for the food pantry. You don't have to have any experience to sign up for that. Somebody will be there who can show you the ropes. You can even just test it out. You're like, I'm going to come this morning, this afternoon on Saturday, and figure out if I like this or not, if this jives with my sense of my call. And if you don't, no love lost. I mean, it is what it is, but at least come and check it out. Also, there's an opportunity to bring items for people. There's specifically a need for cat food, for pet food, but cat food specifically. Lots of cats among the folks who come and connect. So, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering. Deb, did you have an announcement? Okay, sorry. I saw you stand up at the last second there. Yeah.
Happy New Year, 2023, everybody. As far as signing up, the Flower Guild door has a new sign, yeah. So please take advantage of that today. And if you have any preferences, let us know. Color, type, is it something for a grandbaby girl, what not? Just let us know, and we'll seasonally try to make sure everything's taken care of for you.
Thanks, Deb. And flowers are always. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Take very many. It can be just two or three. And
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels, archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Jesus, Lamb of God,
Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus,
the gifts of God, for you the people of God, come taste and see that God is good. Christ, the bread of heaven, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with the spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujahs are back.